I want to talk a little bit tonight about choosing to love God. I know in the passage that Dick just read, Joshua says, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." But I want us to think about going a step further than just serving the Lord. I want us to think about loving Him. What is our motivation for the things that we do? Are we Christians? Are we doing the good deeds that we do? Are we serving God? Is it just because of fear? Because we fear God? Is it just because we know we're supposed to serve Him? It's a sense of duty that, well, this is our responsibility, and so we have to serve Him. Or we have to serve Him because, well, He's more powerful than we are, and so we don't have a choice. We have to serve, just like someone who's forced into servitude in some way. Is it because we want to obey God in order to gain a reward? Maybe, well, you know, if we serve God, if we obey God, then He's going to reward us with these good things. Are those our motivations? Or are we serving and obeying God because we love Him? Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life, therefore, that you and your offspring may live." Now it may be that we think, well, the only reason that we're serving God is because of that hope of heaven, that hope of eternal life, and that's all it's about. Why? What's our motivation? Why do we do the things that we do? Why are we here tonight? There are other places we could be. Are we here because we're afraid God will be mad at us if we don't? Are we here because, well, we, you know, it's my responsibility, especially you look at the preacher and you go, well, you know, preacher's kind of got to be here because he's getting paid to be here. So he has to. Why do we do it? Let's look at what loving God is. So what is loving God? What does it mean to really love God? How do we know whether we're loving God or not? I want to look at just a list of things. First of all, of what loving God is not. Now, it doesn't mean that just because, even if someone is doing these things, that they don't love God. But sometimes we try to define our relationship with God based on certain actions that don't really prove that we love Him. Loving God is not just going to church. There are a lot of people who go to church, but they don't love God. Just going to church does not prove that we love God. Now, if we love God, are we going to go to church? Well, sure. But we can't prove our love for God by that thing alone. And that's the case with all of these things. It's not just praising Him when you're blessed. It is easy when God gives us blessings to say, oh, well, God's good. But what about when we don't have the blessings? What about when the bad things happen? What about when the hard times hit? Will we still praise Him then? Loving God is not just worshiping Him. There are many people who put on the form of worshiping God. They don't love Him. They're just going through the motions for one reason or another, some of which we've already talked about. Others that, you know, and especially we think about, you know, we talk about, you know, the preacher's got to be here because he's paid to be here. There are, quite honestly, some preachers who are preachers and who come to worship and worship God, not because they love God, but because they love the money they get. Or they love the attaboys that they get, and boy, that was a good job that they get. And that's why they do it. It's not about God at all, it's about them. It is a way for them to stroke their ego and make them feel better about themselves. And that can certainly be the case with other people as well. Reading, memorizing, even studying the Bible is not necessarily evidence of loving God. Praying to Him. The old saying that there are no atheists in the foxhole. Even those that don't believe in God will pray to Him under certain circumstances. It's not just obeying Him. It's not just fearing Him. Not just serving Him. It's not just being a good neighbor, a good citizen. It's not just wanting to go to heaven someday. It's not just being a believer. It's also not easy. And it's not forced on you. That's one thing about love. Love can never be forced. There are a lot of things in this world that people will try to force us to do. And they will succeed at times in forcing us to do certain things. You know, the government can force us to pay taxes. The government can force us with threat of jail or whatever fines to obey certain laws. But they can't ever force us to love them. Now, love has to be done of free will. So as we think about what loving God is then on the other side of the coin, of course it is the foundation that all of those things we've mentioned already should be built. It's the basis for it. Now, obviously, a lot of us started our journey toward God out of fear, perhaps a fear of hell. Perhaps we did it out of a duty, or maybe it was just training because our parents taught us. And so we just did it because we did it. Because we didn't even know there was a choice. But the foundation of these things should be love. And we need to work to establish that relationship. My own father talks a lot about his relationship with his dad. My grandfather was not a Christian, never became a Christian. I remember on one occasion, my dad and my uncle preached for two different religious groups, and he said, "Well, if my own two sons who've gone to school and studied it can't figure it out, how am I supposed to know?" Well, my dad studied with his brother, and for a time, my uncle preached for the Church of Christ. But even during that time, when they both were in agreement and talked to my grandpa about that, he still, it was just an excuse. The whole, "Well, my two sons preach for different churches," that was just an excuse, really, when it got down to it. But one of the things that my dad struggled with his relationship with his dad, was that his father was very harsh. Almost what we would maybe classify as cruel in his disciplinary methods. And my dad, as a child, obeyed out of fear. Later, as he began to grow older and become an adult himself and realize how difficult adulthood was, he began to respect that my grandfather had lived a hard life and had cared for his family and provided for them, even if he did not even himself really understand love. You see, part of that was my grandfather didn't have a mom and a dad growing up that raised him and loved him. And so he struggled with some of those things. Eventually, my dad, though, grew beyond just respecting his father for the difficult life that he had endured and overcome and the way that he had provided for the family, and he began to love his father. And a lot of that had to do with him becoming a Christian himself and learning about the love of Christ and the love of God and how a father deserves that kind of love as well as the honor and respect. It changed his relationship. And the same is true with our relationship of God, with God. If the reason that we serve God is because we're afraid he's going to strike us dead with a lightning bolt, or that we're afraid that he's going to send us to hell if we do the wrong thing, we're never going to be close to him. We'll always be at a distance. Because you can only get so close to someone that you're afraid of. So the love for God should be the foundation of all of these other things rather than fear or a sense of duty or even a sense of respect or honor because he's our creator. It should be that we grow to that point of love. But often, of course, it is a growth process. We don't start there. A lot of people don't. Most people don't. Very few people do start with loving God. They start with other things. They start with the benefits that they'll get from obeying God, or, well, the punishment they'll get if they don't, or they started with their parents teaching them, or something of that effect. So it's the foundation that we build those things on. And then based on that foundation, then, you know, we go to church even when we don't feel like it. Now, I mean, obviously, if we're really sick, we're not going to go, but we'd come to church even when we kind of having one of those days where, it's not a great day. It's praising him even when our world is falling apart around us. It's worshiping him even when he's broken our hearts by not giving us what we thought we needed or wanted or desired, and worshiping him anyway. Worshiping him from the heart. It's writing the scriptures on your heart and in your life, not just having them in a book. It's praying to him even when the words are not there, obeying him even when everyone else is not. It's overcoming that fear and casting it out, as 1 John 4:18 through 21 tells us. It's serving him when no one else knows or sees what we've done, but only him. It's being a good neighbor to your bad neighbor. It's being a good citizen under a bad government. It's longing to be with him in heaven now and forever, but knowing your work here may not be done. It's believing enough to follow where you can't see what's going to happen. It's denying your will and self for his and for him. And we talked about that some this morning with discipleship. Unfortunately, loving God is something that people often quit doing. The church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation had left their first love. They actually had that love for God. And somewhere along the line, the doing of the things, the teaching of the doctrine, the practicing the right practices became more important to them than their love for God. And we have to be aware of that because that can happen to us as well. And of course, it is returning the love he has shown us. Donnie led the song, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." Because he loved us first, we learned to love him in return. We didn't love him first. He loved us first. So as we think about these things, I mean, I think, should I choose to love God? Is that the best choice to make? One of the things we have to realize is there is a cost of loving God. We have to give up our will. We have to give up our desires. We have to give up some of our relationships that may be pulling us away from Him. We have to give up some of our habits. We have to give up time, money, and energy for Him. We have to give up the right to make choices for ourselves. That's a really tough one in our society. We live in a land of freedom. It was mentioned in the prayer. That, you know, it's a land of freedom, and we love those freedoms. And with those freedoms, well, I get to choose. And we do. But once we choose to love God, then we're giving up the right to make choices about our own lives, because He's already made those choices for us. He's already made those decisions. He's already told us what's right, what's wrong. So we don't, in a way, it's kind of a blessing, even though it's a cost. Because we don't have to figure it out. We can just do what He's already told us should be done. It means not being part of certain activities or certain entertainments that other people that we know go to be a part of. But because we love God, we won't go to those things and do those things, because they're not godly things. It also means facing tests from God. God will test us. He wants us to succeed, but He will test us and even allow us to be tempted. And it means that we'll face temptations from Satan and other people. Sometimes other people that we're very close to will tempt us to go astray. In the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verses 1 through 3, God talks about if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams comes up among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder he tells you comes to pass, and then he says, "Let's go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them," you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams. The Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. There will be those sometimes, even from our own family, our own friends, who will try to drag us away from God, just as those false prophets did in those days. Loving God means being obedient to Him in all things, not just the things that we agree with Him about. The story of the farmer who had a son. And they had four fields. And the father said, "I want you to plant cotton up here in the northwest field. And I want you to plant soybeans over here in the northeast field. And then down here in the southwest field, I want you to plant cotton. And in the southeast field, we're going to let that one lay fallow this year. We're not going to plant it. It needs a rest." And the sun goes out to plow the fields, and he plows the northwest field, and he said, "Yeah, this is a good field to put that. So I'm going to do what my dad said right there." And he goes out to the northeast field, and he plants what his dad said there, because, yeah, that's a great place. And he goes to that southwest field and says, "You know, cotton, yeah, that'll grow there, great. Put that there." But then he gets over here to this other field, and he says, "You know, we really need some wheat." And Daddy didn't say to plant any wheat, but, "Boy, this field's just laying here doing nothing. I'm going to plant wheat." And he plants wheat in that field. Now the question is, how much of his father's will did he do? Some people will say, well, 75%. He did 3/4 of the things that his father told him to do. But the fact of the matter is, he did not do any of his father's will. The only reason he did what his father said in those first three fields was because that's what he thought should be done with those three fields. And we know that's the case because when it came to the fourth field and there was a difference between his father's will and his will, which one won? It was his will that won out. And that's the same way it is with us with God. God tells us, here, do this, do this, do this. And we say, oh yeah, that's a good idea, I'll do that. Oh, that's a good idea, I'll do that. I'm not going to do that one. I'm going to do what I want to do. We need to beware. There is a cost to following God. 1 John 2, 4-6 says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. But no things that come with a cost come without some benefit. And there are benefits to loving God as well. I want to balance it out and look at both sides and see, do the benefits outweigh the costs? Is it worth it? That's what we have to decide every time we spend money on something. And if we're going to spend our life on something, we certainly want to do the same thing. Is it worth it? Are the benefits that I'm going to get, is that going to outweigh the costs that I'm going to have to pay? Well, one benefit is that no one will ever love you like God loves you. You know, maybe mama loves you, maybe daddy loves you, maybe you've got a spouse who loves you, maybe you have children who love you, maybe you have a brother or a sister or a friend who loves you, but there is no one else who will ever love you like God does. He loved you first. Even when you were unlovable by most standards. Romans 5:5-8 talks about that. He loved us when we were still sinners, when we were weak, when we were enemies. He still loved us. Not many people love their enemies. Of course, there's mercy. Ephesians 2:4-7 talks about that mercy and leads into talking about grace as well. That we also receive. Mercy and grace are similar, but they're different. I often say mercy is not getting what you deserved, and grace is receiving something you didn't deserve. A good thing, of course, that you didn't deserve. So the mercy is not getting the punishment you deserved. The grace is instead receiving love and eternal life, which also is a benefit, that crown of life. James 1:12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. When he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. If we choose to love God, we can receive that crown of life. We receive a loving family to be a part of, a spiritual family. There are, of course, that cost, but also benefit of not having to decide a lot of things about life. You know, I don't have to decide if I'm going to go home and get drunk tonight. I don't have to decide if I'm going to cheat on my wife. I don't have to decide if I'm going to cheat on my income tax or lie about... I don't have to decide those things because God's already decided those for me. When I love Him, that decision's already been made. I just do what He tells me to do. Saves me a lot of decisions. There are a lot of decisions we have to make in life. Wouldn't it be nice to not have to make a few of them? God allows that. When we love Him, He's already decided some of those things for us, and we don't have to worry about those decisions. Nothing will be able to separate us from His love. You know, most people that we know, even those people who say they love us, there is something, somewhere, somehow, that could separate us from their love. They might stop loving us for some reason or another. For some, it's really simple. You cheered for the wrong football team, you know, and so I don't love you anymore. But you know, there are a lot of things. You know, a lot of friendship. You know, maybe it's politics, or maybe it's, you know, the color of car you bought or something. You know, like there's, and, but sometimes it's something more serious. Maybe it's the person you chose to marry. I've known a lot of people who parents disowned them because they married somebody that they didn't approve of. Maybe it's because you became a Christian. I've known people who were disowned because they became Christians. But we know that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. An amazing thing, an amazing benefit is we get to know the unknowable. How about that? Wouldn't you like to get to know? Wait a minute. You just said it was unknowable. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 3. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. There's the unknowable. To know the love of Christ. That love surpasses knowledge, and yet Paul says, we can know it. We can comprehend it. The length and the breadth and the height and the depth of His love. Amazing thing. Get to experience the unimaginable. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. We get to experience the unimaginable. And God will work things for good. What a blessing that is. Romans 8, 28 through 32. Works those things together for those who love Him. We get to inherit the kingdom. What amazing benefit that is. And God will help you love Him. You know, sometimes we feel, well, I want to love God, but I can't love God enough. He'll help us. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6, all the way back in the Old Testament even. So this isn't just the New Testament. This has been going on for... The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. If we will come to Him and share with Him our difficulties and our struggles, He will help us to do the things that we struggle to be able to do. Well, as we think about this then, if we make that choice to love God, how can I love Him better? Well, there are several things that we can do. First of all, we can get to know Him better, talk to Him more, listen to Him more. Talking to Him, of course, is prayer. Listening to Him is through the study of His Word. And spend time together. Spend time in meditation. How much time do we spend with God? You know, a person that we love, we usually want to spend time with that person. Do we spend time with God? And we have to remember, of course, that love is not how we feel. Because otherwise it wouldn't be something we could choose. We don't always get to determine how we feel. Cliff was talking about Diane is not here today because every time she stands up she feels woozy and sick, and so she has to lay back down. I went through that a couple months ago. I know how that feels. And I didn't want to feel that way. But I couldn't change it. Sometimes you feel what you feel. And our mistake in our society is to try to make love a feeling. Well, I fell in love and then, well, I fell out of love. But if love is a choice that we make, and if it's defined by the way that we live our lives and what we do, instead of just, well, how do I feel about it? Because our feelings change from day to day. But what we do will help that love to grow. Count your blessings. Remember the good times with God and other Christians. Find a new way to serve Him that you've never done before. Learn something new. David Murphy's wanting some people to learn how to run the project. Learn something new. Try something you haven't tried before. Never taught a class? Give it a shot. Gentlemen, never led a prayer? Lead a prayer. Try serving Him in a new way that you've never served Him before. Look for new insights into who He is in the Scriptures. Things that you never noticed before in there. Look for ways to grow in your love to your fellow Christians as well. 1 John 4, 18-21, we talked about earlier, it says, "He who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." We need to practice for our loving of God by loving each other. Remind yourself of His love for you. Sing about it. You know, go sing in the shower. You know, sing in the car. Sing while you're working around the house. Sing about God's love for you. Sing about your love for Him. Sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You know, sing those songs. Write a song. Write a poem. Put your thoughts and feelings and words on paper, even. Talk to other Christians about your shared love for Him. You know, instead of us talking about something as dreary as work or, you know, even our travel plans or other things that are going on in day to day, why don't we talk with each other about our love for God and His love for us? Share that with each other. Meditate on what it'll be like to be with Him in heaven. Can we imagine how that's going to be? Worship Him whenever you have an opportunity. Don't wait till Sunday. Worship Him wherever you are, whenever you are. Remind yourself of all the sacrifices He's made for you. Find things in your life that you can sacrifice for Him. You know, that's what we do. You know, a couple that's dating, you know, they're trying to win each other's love. And think about all the things they do. You know, the young guy goes and he's only got $3.50, so it's not enough for him and his girlfriend to both eat. So he gets a cup of water and he buys her a little burger and fries or something, right? And lets her, and then she eats like two bites of it and gives him the rest, right? So that's because she can't eat in front of him and all. No, but we do those things. We sacrifice for those we love. Think about the things parents sacrifice for their children to give them those. Find things in our life that we can sacrifice for God to show our love for Him. Trust Him to love you. Don't try to win His love. We already have His love. John tells us, God so loved the world. He loves all of us. He even loves those people out there that aren't living the way He wants them to live. He loves them. So don't think, well, if I do enough good things, then God will love me. But know that He already loves you. And then thank Him through your actions for His love. Share your love with Him. Don't try to win His love. Remember how you first got to know Him. Talk to others about how they became Christians. Talk about how you became a Christian. Remember that first love that the Ephesian church had lost. Go back to that. Love to hear the stories about how somebody became a Christian, how they became a follower of Christ. As we close, may God's grace be to all of you who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love that never ends. That's real love. Love that never ends. If you're here and you have not loved God as you should, maybe you haven't chosen to love Him. You've served Him. You've obeyed Him. But you've not loved Him. Maybe you need to make a change in your life tonight. If you need to respond to God's invitation, please do it as we stand and sing.